This episode of App Slappy is brought to you by Jim Kosinski, DNF Pack Station at Huntington Lake, California, camping with room service in the High Sierras. Art Version Interactive Agency. This episode is for you.
You are listening to App Slappy Podcast.
No.
Derp.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to App Slappy. This is App Slappy, episode 73, the podcast for App Store addicts, covering all the hot apps for your iOS device. I'm Scott.
And I'm Eric.
And I'm Eileen.
It's post-CES Eileen.
I won't be talking much today. I won't put it on mute.
Not only were you in at CES, but you were like super heavy-duty behind-the-scenes stuff for Twit, and I'm sure that that's a lot more work than it seems. That sounds like a lot of work to me.
Yes.
Yeah. But you're here and you're good and you're going to tell us all about CES, right?
You didn't watch it?
No, I watched a ton of it. I did want to kind of get your thoughts on the tablet apocalypse that happened.
Oh, I have a little bit about the tablets. Yeah, the tablet apocalypse, too many to count, too many Android tablets. Mm. Not many of them were that impressive. Mm. There was a Lenovo, I can't remember now all of the different ones. There was a hybrid where you look at it, you could put it in the keyboard port, and that way, looking like a netbook, it's Windows 7. It's running Windows 7. And then when you pull it out to use it as a tablet, it's Android.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Lenovo's doing that?
Yeah, that was Lenovo.
Weird.
And then I know Asus had an e-pad. I don't know much about that one. I didn't get to see that. Everybody had a tablet, but you know what I really liked that was new?
What?
That it was actually working. I don't care what CNET says, the Zoom, whatever, using Honeycomb. Yeah, they had a little video playing on that tablet the whole time. Yeah. I think only a very select few got to actually see it running Honeycomb. Because that was their best of show, CNET's best of show. What really impressed me was the BlackBerry Playbook.
Really?
I'll tell you that right now. That thing looks really nice. I know it's a little, it's weird because it's even smaller, I think, than the, well, maybe it's not, but it's the same size as the tab.
So like a 7 inches, right? Something like that?
Yeah. 7 inches, but man, the way you flick things to move things and the way it plays Flash, it plays everything. What we saw, a working model, was really nice. I'm digging that BlackBerry Playbook, and I want to know more. I want to know pricing and, you know,
is it going to run on 3G? Yeah.
I know. It was a rumor that, it doesn't really exist. It's not really happening. It's happening, and it looks good.
I like the name. So, Playbook's a great name.
Yeah. So I would look at that as a real big competitor, especially because, there's just a flood of Android tablets now. Yeah. Now you just don't know what to choose from. Even when Motorola comes out with theirs, it's like, oh, God, there's the cheap tablets, and then there's these higher-end tablets. What do you want? But BlackBerry's out in its own little world with their own little gadget, and it might stand out from the rest.
That's good, because I think it kind of needs to if it wants to set itself aside or apart and kind of be interesting. It's actually, sure, here's a show we talk about iOS and we talk about Apple stuff, so we're a little bit biased. But all of that being said, I get super excited about all this competing stuff because I like competition. It breeds innovation, makes everybody stay on their toes. So I get really excited to see this stuff. Really nothing I saw, and I didn't see the BlackBerry, but nothing I saw on the coverage really blew me away. In fact, it felt like a sea of, I don't know what to do, too much choice. Mm-hmm. Like, too much choice is not a choice. It's like just a sea of, I don't know, I got to wait until somebody finds one they like, and then 2 weeks later there'll be a new version anyway. And it kind of makes me just, I'm really happy with my iPad after seeing all this mess. But that's really good to know, and it's nice to hear that BlackBerry has something cool in the pipe. Yeah, because their touch phones, the Storm phones, those were crap.
Yeah.
They looked great on paper, and before they hit the market and stuff, it looked like, oh, this would be interesting. My brother-in-law bought 5 of them for his family, and I hate it. I absolutely hate that freaking thing. So it's nice to hear that they're doing something cool.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I knocked the Zoom because we didn't really get to see it, but I, you know, I can't really say much about it because Honeycomb wasn't really running. It was a video, yeah, you know? Yeah. So yeah, you could look at it, but until you actually touch it and move the apps and flick things, I can't really say, oh, that's a great, you know, approved Google tablet or whatever it might be. So,
well, so what is the BlackBerry using? BlackBerry using Android, or is it something their own?
I think thing? They're using their own thing. Mm. Didn't look like it. Looks like their own, you know.
They haven't been big about adopting everybody else's stuff. So interesting. All right. Well, that's all you have to say about CES, because I'm sure the rest of it is a big, ugly blur.
It kind of is.
Yeah. I heard Vizio had a tablet. Is that true? Or a
phone?
Oh,
yeah. Vizio had a tablet, too, and they had a phone.
What is up with that? They make TVs, for heaven's sakes. That's weird.
Yeah. They were the first to announce, too. They announced Monday. Pre-CES that, hey, we're coming out with the new TV. Oh, guess what? We're going to do a tablet and phone too. Mm. Hello. I know.
Display models at Costco soon.
I think that's what's happening.
You're probably right.
So, I don't know that any of these are iPad killers. And, you know, now the ball is in Apple's court when, you know, I'm sure in April we're going to get iPad 2 and I'm sure it's going to be fantastic. So I'm not too worried for iPad, but if you're looking for an alternative, you know, there are a few out there that are okay.
Yeah. And we're talking very first run here. We're not, you know, this is everybody's first stab at grabbing some of this market that Apple arguably paved the way for. I mean, a lot of people, I don't know, there's a weird resentment.
I think Apple is the first successful one.
Well, yeah, tablets have been on people's minds for a long time, but their approach to tablets, which is a, you know, more of a self-contained standalone platform, not a notebook with a touchscreen, I think is the thing that's inspiring a lot of stuff. And you could argue the iPhone did this as well. It came out, and now every phone looks basically like that, all smartphones anyway. So I don't know what they're going to do with the second round, but it does. It's seeing that sea of choice with all that Android stuff made me go, man, I just want one really good tablet. A really, really good one that's just good out of the box. I don't have to find a million reviews to see which one's better. Well, this one's got janky plastic, but this one's battery sucks, or this one fell and broke the first day. I don't want all that. What I want is just something right out of the gate. I feel like Apple has that opportunity in the current heated environment for tablature, you know? So let's see what they do. It'll be great.
Well, just Apple's really good with their design and the quality of their products.
Yeah, I mean, they have a way of setting apart one device, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like we're going to get five new iPad versions from Apple that we have a hard time choosing between. It'll just be one really great one, which is great. I want that. The iPhone on Verizon was a rumor that we have been talking about for the last, what, Eric, 2 years?
Yeah.
On this show.
Been quite a while.
You know, in a way, I'm a little sad that this rumor is no longer a rumor, because in a way it was kind of fun to always sort of revisit it and rip on it and complain about it. And now it happened. So this morning, iPhone on Verizon's network was announced by Verizon. They held a press conference. Why they did it so close to the end of CES, I don't quite understand, other than to get Eileen up way too early and having to produce a live podcast and everything else.
Eileen, you okay?
I'm mad at Verizon for doing that. I'm tired.
Their
I didn't want to get up
sucks.
Early
yeah.
2 days after my last show at CES. Boo.
Yeah. I'm ready to argue that their timing sucks in a lot of ways, because on TNT today, we were talking about this very thing. I have a friend who works at, or I have a friend who has a friend who works at Verizon, who has been hinting all year, and we mentioned on the show before that he said they've been testing an iPhone. So that seemed to lend credence to this whole rumor. Well, now that it's out, he's saying, well, I still wouldn't buy one today. I'd wait till June. I don't know what that means. Does that mean Verizon's going to get the new iPhone 5s, whatever that is?
I've been reading articles like, oh, wait, because a new iPhone's coming out. Don't, you know.
Yeah.
Don't. 6 months down the road, people are going to be complaining.
But then Tom's theory is scary as crap, which is, that he has this idea that it will be time delayed on everything this year, at least this year for Verizon. So let's say in June we get new iPhones on the AT&T network, that Steve Jobs will get up and say something to the effect, and 3 months from now, Verizon gets it, and everyone will flip out.
That's quite possible.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory anyway.
Yeah.
But it happens. So anybody switching? What's the plan here in the room?
No. I'm hoping that...
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm just hoping that the people that switch will alleviate the problems that I'm having here in the Bay Area with having a reception.
Wait, I thought you'd definitely switch.
No, I'm not. I can't pay for. I don't want to pay for the break in.
Yeah, if anything, you just wink.
The contract break. Yeah. I've done that accidentally before. A long time ago, I was with Sprint, and I accidentally. Well, I really did accidentally stop my break. I broke my contract. I didn't know it. That was a hefty fine, so yeah, I'm not going to do that again.
Yeah, that sucks, man. Those contracts are murder if you break them.
Yeah. I was talking to a coworker today saying like it's a win-win situation because most likely it'll leave the network traffic for AT&T and hopefully
make it stronger. That's what I'm betting on. I'm like, go, please, jump.
Yeah.
Go get off AT&T. I really would like to use my phone now.
That's kind of how I feel because I don't really have any problems necessarily. But the idea that we could have less congested traffic or something is kind of, you know, that's appealing to me.
Also what's interesting is that it's running on their old network, not the 4G.
Well, they're more like their current network, but their 4G/LTE stuff, no support for that in this iteration of the phone.
Did you hear what Apple said?
What'd they say?
They said it'd have to change actually the design of the iPhone to accommodate the new chip.
Oh, that doesn't that doesn't surprise me. I mean, they kind of did anyway with this new antenna design, which is supposedly there to accommodate the CDMA connection. That makes sense to me. Also, it looks like they've sort of alleviated the antenna gate problem, according to people who've held it and seen it. But the other thing that is interesting is CDMA still doesn't allow for calling and doing other stuff at the same time.
You can't do data connection and talk at the same time.
Yeah, which is kind of a stinker, but we kind of knew that was coming. But one nice thing they announced was the inclusion of an option to make it a personal hotspot. So
yeah, that's very cool.
Yeah, that's big.
That's the only thing I'm really jealous of.
Me too. That's the one. You know what? That's the one thing that would make me even consider breaking contract. Actually, it's the one thing. Like, what I really hope is AT&T turns around and says, "Okay, we're doing that too," and then I'll be fine.
Because you don't need a MiFi anymore. Say you have your Wi-Fi iPad and you just have your phone.
Yeah, I mean, love that.
One less device.
Love that idea.
Yeah. I also thought it was kind of very interesting they did not mention pricing on their data plans.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, they're still working that out. So I think it's going to be expensive.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was reading an article today where I think they charge $15 for 150 megabytes on their other smartphones.
Yeah, a lot of Verizon customers that I know, you know, they say that their data plans are very expensive just for the current phones that they have, whatever phone they have. So,
I actually saw a rumor today saying it was the unlimited was going to be like $100 just for the data plan.
What? God.
Just for data?
Yeah.
Well, how do they their justification is probably.
They're saying it's probably going to be between $40 and $100 for the unlimited data plan.
Oh, it can't be $100. It can't be $100.
But they may claim that, okay, you're going to pay that $100 premium price because AT&T doesn't do an unlimited plan anymore. But hey, look, we do, and it'll only cost you 100 bones. I could see
that. That'd be interesting to see what they come out with.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'm not switching anytime soon. I don't have any AT&T issues or problems with the network, so.
You're okay where you are? Because I had a lot of... Wow, man, that's nice.
Yeah, I know a lot of New Yorkers. Well, I don't know. I shouldn't say a lot, but I've heard from...
Well, there's some new... there are some places in New York that have issues.
Mm-hmm.
But they are getting better as the time passes. Mm-hmm. Like, I used to not be able to get service, very good service in my building, but now I get great service in my building for some reason. So
they did upgrade.
Well,
towers.
You probably got a new tower or something, right?
Same thing out here. We had terrible reception for a while, and they put up a new tower, and it's been pretty swimming since. So yeah, I don't. You know, this doesn't really affect me. But when contract time ends, I mean, you can bet probably all three of us are at least going to look and see what's going on right then. You know.
Well, I almost never get to that contract ending point because the new iPhone always comes out a year later and then I always end up upgrading. I always upgrade. And actually, I've messed up my camera on my iPhone 4. I wasn't going to upgrade,
my iPhone. What did you do to your camera?
Well, I dropped it and I didn't have a case. And I'm convinced that my camera is slightly soft now when I take photos and videos. It's not quite there. So I might want to upgrade in whenever July. It's usually
they'll usually like announce in June maybe, and then
It's like my birthday present in July. So I'm probably going to upgrade in the AT&T network because it'll probably be easier for me to do that than break contract. So we'll see. I'll do the math.
Anyway, you have like, how many phones do you have anyway? I think you were on Instagram. You had three phones. You had like a...
I don't think they were all yours.
Oh my God, that was a Nextel. Well, that Nextel was for work. That was for, you know, the 1990s technology to actually be able to communicate. Because in Vegas, no way. I will say T-Mobile on my Nexus S worked. And then the Nextel worked. But I could, for the first 2 days, could not get any reception, data reception specifically, while at the convention center.
Still enjoying your Nexus S?
You know what? It's a nice phone. I don't like the camera.
Yeah.
There's a couple weirdness that I'm just still not used to via, you know, in the Android world that I'm getting used to, but it's good.
Yeah.
It just, you know what, for Google purposes, my calendar, my email, everything syncs so well. I cannot, to this day, there's something wrong with what I've set up or whatever, but I cannot set up my calendar properly on the calendar app for iPhone.
Yeah, I've heard Android lovers love that integration. The Google Apps stuff is super strong. Oh, in there.
All that stuff works. Opening Docs on the phone works. It's awesome. Just doing it on my iPhone is hell. It really is. Yeah. It doesn't work. I don't like that. So
yeah, and it's hard to say, like, I don't know. There, a piece of me says, come on, Apple, have better support for these kinds of hooks. But then I think, well, part of that is Google kind of just doing enough to get iPhone people by, but they're not going to give their best stuff to
absolutely
to that platform.
Yeah.
It was too bad because I feel like early on that is what we were getting from Google in the first couple of years.
And then Google was like, hey, we could do our own thing.
Yeah,
that's what they're doing. Bastard. Oh, hey, did you guys hear the other rumor that the white iPhone's probably going to come in spring?
Yeah, I did. Finally, that's my gosh.
I know.
What the crap?
Maybe that's what they're saying.
Yeah, maybe so if the Verizon stuff starts shipping to existing Verizon customers next month, because that's the plan. No new people. So even people wanting to transfer, by the way, can't. Next month, yeah, because they're the first pre-orders. I don't know what the limits are, so that we'd have to track that down. But the initial pre-orders are all existing Verizon customers. So that's
what? Really? Yeah. I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either.
Read that today.
I'm not going to get a lot of new customers.
I agree. I totally agree. Like this is
because those people aren't those people happy with their phone? Maybe not if it's an old Droid or something. I don't know.
Well, I know there's a lot of people that a lot of friends that I have, and I'm not. This is not stabbing a bunch of Droid users, folks. I'm just saying that I know people who, quote unquote, settled for a Droid because they didn't want to go with AT&T and get the iPhone, and so they bought Droid. So I think those people are definitely going to make the jump. I already know people who are. They've already emailed me and said, "Dude, I can't wait. I'm getting it." Everybody.
You know who might jump? Speaking of BlackBerry, are some BlackBerry people.
Yeah.
I know a few that are on Verizon and refuse to go to AT&T, and I already know they're going to make the jump.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I think it's good. Mm. It feels like a win for everybody. There's some choice here that we've long needed. I think Apple needs this. They need to be on more carriers. That's just the truth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So we'll see how it goes, but at least wanted to touch on that and see what our thoughts were. Let's move on and rip through this big damn show. Let's talk about what's new. A couple of things I thought were interesting. Mercury Web Browser Pro. Do you remember the days when third-party browsers were not allowed on the App Store? Those days are gone.
Way gone.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff coming out. Mercury is the most advanced and elegant web browser for the iPad and iPhone and iPod Touch, says the maker of the app. Time will tell. I'm going to try it out, and I haven't yet, but it is out this week. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. Pre-quarter. I thought of Eric when I saw this. Here's the description. By constantly saving the previous few seconds of a video before you hit record, Precorder lets you wait until something interesting happens to start recording, and you'll never miss a precious moment or get stuck with hours of boring video to painstakingly edit down. Use Precorder to save your best video clips, then share them. Seems kind of cool. It's basically just buffering all the time. Like whenever that lens is open, it's you know, recording a chunk of stuff. And if you're just too late hitting the record button, it doesn't matter because 6 seconds were already recorded.
It's kind of like a DVR.
Kind of, yeah. Yeah, in a weird way.
Yeah, in a weird way.
It's just kind of, but it's just sort of barely ahead of you kind of all the time. So I don't know. It sounds interesting. I'm gonna try it, see what we think, and probably review it next week. So watch for that. Other than that, kind of slim pickings on the App Store for new stuff. I mean, like it's been a little bit. There's been tons of stuff. There always is. There's hundreds of apps a day, but no big, huge title. It's just January. It's the way this stuff goes, which totally makes sense to me. Let's move straight to our review, shall we? Yeah.
Reviews. Slappy.
Reviews. Let's start with something I picked up for the iPad. It's called Picturica, and it's made by Electronic Arts. It is a game, as you may guess, but it is not a traditional game that even EA would, you'd think, would be responsible for. Apparently, this exists on the Wii as well. But I've never seen it on there. But Picturica is basically one of these search and find apps where you got to find like hidden objects and stuff like that. But what makes it interesting and fun is there's a million different kinds of challenges while you're playing it. You can play with multiple people. It's never the same. It's always randomized. The artwork is crazy, funny, weird cartoons, which actually adds a bit of challenge. And one challenge might be find all of the bottles. Okay, or find 7 bottles, and you have this time limit to hurry up and find these 7 bottles. But the very next one may say, find 8 objects that are made of breakable glass. Well, guess what? The bottles you were searching for in the last round, those count. So if you see another bottle, okay, well, that breaks. Oh, there's a light bulb. That breaks. You know, so it's not just find the object that looks like this thing. It's find this object that does these things, like what explodes or what smells funny or what, you know, is tall or what is an animal or whatever.
You like these games.
I do like these games.
Tons of these, like find the object.
And I used to hate this. Like this in magazine form. Like, I don't know if you guys remember those Highlights magazines you're waiting in the dental office.
Oh, yeah, totally.
I freaking hate that stuff. I used to, even as a kid, I was like, was there something better to do? It's really cool. Like, it's really fun. My kids adore it. It's challenging. All this time limit stuff really keeps your heart going and keeps you just racing around trying to find this crap. It's got a great art style, very funny sort of sense of humor, and it's only $1.99 on the iPad, and I highly recommend it. I think people should pick it up. It was on sale for a while for $1, but that went up. But I paid full price, and it's worth $2 for sure. Probably worth a little bit more, but it's a sleeper hit in my opinion. I don't think a lot of people know about it. I happened to find it totally by accident looking for Pictionary games. Just looking for more Wii Doodle style stuff like that. And this just happened to have some of those keywords. And I thought, well, what is this thing? And I checked it out. I read it. Sounded kind of interesting. Kim says, well, let's play it. We like that other one. I'm like, all right. Downloaded it. Fell in love with it. It's great. Check it out. Okay. Moving on. So that's Picturica. P-I-C-T-U-R-E-K-A. For those who like us to say the names of things after we've talked about them. Next up is Altered. Oh, no, let's move on. Eric.
Yes, Scott.
We're skipping around. Coffee table. What the crap? You bought a coffee table on the App Store.
Yes, I did. Did you get that email I sent to you?
Nope. Oh, yeah, with all your collage of stuff.
Yep. That's coffee table.
Nice.
It looks good.
Yeah.
Okay, tell
people how that works. What is that?
Well, it's an interesting application because you know how you can get the pictures onto the coffee table.
Mm. Yeah.
I'll tell you how. There's two ways, actually. You can either take them from your photo library or from your iPad, or your photos on your iPhone. There is a companion application that's free for the iPhone where you actually flick the photos off your iPhone onto the coffee table.
Oh, that's cool. So I noticed the art and the drawings and the pictures you were using were stuff you've already sent me before.
that I've drew.
Yeah.
Those are my own drawings.
Right. So
I sent a China one too, pictures I took in China.
Yeah. So in other words, you went back and pulled library stuff, but can you do like, is this thing designed to take new shots and just throw them right in, or is it always library?
Yeah,
stuff?
Totally. You can take, well, the thing is what it was like touted as is actually if you're in a room full of people and you guys want to like share photos, you could have one iPad and people could be flicking the photos onto the iPad, kind of like and make your own little sharing collage type of thing. But what you can do is, you know, for people who can't see what I sent you guys, is what it is actually when you get the pictures onto the so-called coffee table, you can actually scale them, rearrange them, and then you can actually choose from probably like 10 different backgrounds also, that they're movable. And then you actually, then after you're finished, you can email the collage to anybody you want to.
It's like a PDF or how's it, what does it do? JPEG?
It's a JPEG.
Okay.
It's cool. I like it because, you know, the little things, you could kind of do a cool little, you know, scrapbooky thing, kind of very hands-on. But it would be really cool if you could actually use it as a way to transfer photos off your phone onto your iPad, but actually save them to your photo library in full resolution. You know, as a photo transfer type of tool.
I saw that there's a couple of, and I haven't had a chance to look at any of these, but there's some Wi-Fi iPhone to iPad photo syncing things. We got to try some of that just to see if it's any of it works.
Yeah. So, but anyway. This one's kind of more of a fun photo sharing in a group type of thing, or if you want to kind of be creative with a collage of your photos. So it's a fun little app. The developer has been contacting me on Twitter, and he says the next version coming out is going to have social integration.
So social Twitter network integration. And Facebook and all that.
Yeah. So who knows? You know, maybe a little Instagram action going in there. Who knows?
Mm.
And he said much more. So, but the iPad version is $299, and then the companion coffee table application for the iPhone is free. So, and but it's a cool little thing. It's not bad.
All right. Sounds good. $3 and you're done.
$3.
Eileen, tell us about Wonderlust List.
I know. See, I call it Wonderlust too. And it deserves the lustfulness for it.
Whoa.
Okay. I wanted to thank someone in the chat room when we were going down the top apps of 2010. I think I was going on and on about things. I can't, stay away from things. And I noticed Wonderlist. Somebody said Wonderlist does that. And I thought, huh, I wonder what that was. And so I kind of put that in the back of my head. Something to look up. And then I finally checked it out. I believe the iPhone app has only been out for about a month. There is a desktop service. Basically, this is a productivity to-do app. And it's all free. The desktop, you can download the desktop on your Mac, I believe, PC. Yeah, and PC for free. Mm. And there is an iPhone app. And apparently soon there's going to be a Droid app. And then apparently soon after that, there's going to be a web app component, but that's not out yet. Right now it's just the desktop client and the iPhone app. Super simple to-do list. You can add various categories, although they just call it tasks. So you have an inbox that you could put generic things, and then you could create other inboxes and label them. And then along with that, it's, you know, design wise, the look of it, there's, let's see here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 different colorful backgrounds you could set your to-do list to look like. I picked a really nice kind of a plum color. Let me tell you more about the features. It's very easy to add once you create an inbox, or you could just dump everything in the inbox, or you could create and label like I mentioned. So once you do that, you just open up the app and it says add your task here, type it in. You have options to give it dates, end date, give yourself alarm. And then let's see here, you could actually even share a list. I'm going to share with you guys right now an app slappy list I made. Check that out.
Okay, cool.
When you open it up, you'll be directed somewhere and it'll say download, and then it'll just boop, it'll pop, and you'll see my two little list items there.
Oh, look at this.
Which I kind of like.
This is cool.
And you could share it with that link. You could, you know, but once it's there, they say it's there. You know, if you always know now that this is the link to my AppSlappy, you know, task section. You could send it via email. You could even print your lists. Let's see here. They say that there's multi-platform support. So the desktop versus and on our smartphone, which is your iPhone. They have shortcut keys. There's so many things that this little, you know, free application does, and it might actually take the place of things for me. And, you know, quite honestly, it's free. This is the kind of thing that I've been looking for before I actually paid for things. Now, if you're a heavy GTD person, this might not be for you, because if you've been using OmniFocus and things, and you have things categorized, and you have projects and all this stuff that is very important to you to categorize, you might want to keep using that. But if you need something simple, this might be for you. And this is really honestly something for me that I needed. I just need a simple checklist. I see, and I like to categorize them. And I don't know.
I've installed this all while you've been talking, and I like this.
It's nice, right? The UI is really nice. It syncs really well too. So say you add a to-do, you make some changes on your iPhone list. You basically just kind of drag it like you would on the Twitter app, and it'll sync automatically with your desktop app. It just does, there's no, like with things you have to do the Wi-Fi syncing,
right?
You don't do that.
This is all done through the account, which is something that they're definitely missing. Missing on things. This is really, really interesting. Okay.
Again, it doesn't do the heavy GTD things that you may want, but.
But if you're not doing those as much anyway, I kind of don't use things for all that part anyway. I just want a good, robust to-do system that gives me a good checklist. I can move them up and down, change priorities, schedule them for the next day, whatever. It looks like this will do that and do it well. It looks like they don't have an iPad version, but that's. You know what's funny is I rarely use things on the iPad anyway.
Okay.
I don't know why. I don't know. For whatever reason, I just don't. I kind of prefer it on my phone in some weird way.
I'm still using Epic Win.
All right. What level are you now, Eric, in Epic Win?
I think I'm level like 6, maybe.
Is that all? Should be further than that.
You got to figure when I started it was like low, because I was an early adopter, and so the leveling was excruciatingly slow.
Oh, nice.
So, but now they have an update where it actually supports Google calendars now, syncs with Google calendars.
Yeah.
Oh, that's nice.
It has alarms now, and it's getting there.
So command S. Oh, this is all. Yeah. I'm a good play with this. This looks good.
Yeah. I think again, it might be, there might be some shortcomings if you're used to.
I think the biggest thing on the App Store says it doesn't have sub lists.
Oh.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't really need sub lists. But
what do the sub lists do? What's the point
of it? Say, like, you need to, like, say your to do list is, feed the dog. And then under that, you need to say, oh, go to the grocery store. Buy dog food. That type of thing.
Okay. So it's like projects kind of.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, maybe they'll do that at some point. I never use that in things.
It's a simple thing to add, I'm sure.
Yeah. All right. That's cool.
It's free. That's the best part.
Yeah. How are they supporting this, I wonder?
I have no idea. I think this company is in Sweden or Norway.
Germany or something. Yeah.
It's Germany.
Something Scandinavian,
I think. If you go to the About page, their website, sixwonderkinder.com, you get to see all the inventor, the analyst, the assistant, the interface guru. They're all there. These guys are clearly creative.
Yeah, this is, I don't know, I'm kind of impressed so far. Anyway, I just got the phone logged in and bam, everything synced.
Yeah.
This is kind of that thing I hate about things, which is that Wi-Fi sync that drives me crazy.
Oh, I hate that Wi-Fi sync.
I know. It's such an unelegant method. But then again, I wonder what these guys just taking my personal information and made a nice app to do that. I don't know. It's like,
that's how they're making their money. It's like, hey,
maybe that's it.
Yeah. It weirds me out that they have, I don't see any ad support on here. I mean, it looks like, you know, just a free app. So I don't know. But I'm going to use it.
Okay, we'll take it for what it is.
I'm going to use it, Eileen, and I'm going to report my findings.
Yay.
I like it so far.
It's funny, I saw things on the new Mac App Store.
Oh, yeah. I did see
that. How much is it there?
$50
$50
Same as, yeah, same as what they sell for anyway.
$30 more, you get Aperture 3.
Oh, things. Yeah, I they've always been so expensive for their stuff. And maybe that builds some... don't get me wrong. I think Things at its core is a strong, strong app and strong piece of software. And I like its simplicity, but it's also robust and all that. So I'll give them credit for all of that. But I also think there's a lot of artificial value that people get perceived by seeing how outrageously priced it is. And they automatically go, oh, well, this must be like the best thing ever. I think there's some of that going on.
I think there's so many like to-do task managers out there that are so inexpensive, and it does exactly what Things does.
Yeah. I think this thing's close, but you've just given me here this wonderlust.
Wonderlust.
I'm going to call it Wonderlust from now on.
I'm in lust with the Wonderlust.
It's pretty cool. Kind of digging it. All right. More on that later. Where am I? Oh, it's me again. My second app this week is Altered States. You guys remember that movie, Altered States? It's old.
Totally remember that movie.
Yeah. John, what's his name? Not John Hurt. William Hurt in it. Anyway, weird movie. Altered States, this is not about the movie. It is a, it's another one of these apps. I'm really into lately, meditation stuff and yoga.
Are you turning into a hippie or something?
That's what everyone keeps
asking
me. Yoga's
good.
Yoga's really good.
Simulation, man. Come on, namaste.
Yoga, but he's like the meditation plus yoga.
It's good. I'm kind of getting into it.
He eats all the time. Or the sunflower seeds.
Yeah, the yoga helps me forget I ate all those sunflower seeds. I'm kind of into it lately, and I've been buying apps. Like, I really like Nature Space. I've talked about it on the show before. Gave it a high rank for the year in our best of year thing. And I found something called Altered States that claims to have binaural, or however you say it. Am I saying that right? Anyway.
Binaural frequencies for dreaming.
Yeah, it's got all these like tones and frequencies mingled in with, like, you know, your typical seascapes or thunderstorms or rain or whatever. Sounds, and then they have these like programs where you go, all right, 30 seconds with this, and then it changes the frequency for another 30 seconds, and then you're back to the first one, and then they're these little programs that are supposed to be, and they're labeled things like, you know, natural high or energetic morning or all that kind of goofball. And
so have you been trying it?
Yeah, I gave it as fair a shot as I could. I did exactly as it instructed for as long as it said to do it, and tried to see if it did anything. And I know that this binaural stuff is based on real science. There's some science about, you know, certain auditory frequencies that stimulate the brain to do certain things, produce, you know, certain chemical reactions or whatever. Like the brown note, the elusive brown note. But this thing doesn't work. I tried it, and it doesn't do anything it says it's going to do. Like, it's just kind of, if it is, it's so subtle, it's lost on me.
Did it make you forget that cartoon?
Which cartoon? Oh, no, that was me being stupid. But this did not help me retain it either. Like, that was around the time I started using this thing. And I really, honestly, went into it totally open-minded. I'm a natural skeptic. I don't buy weird stuff unless I can, you know, find out for myself sort of thing and ask a lot of questions and whatever else. And I did that with this, and I gave it a fair shake, and I tried all of its stuff over and over and over. I tried it for multiple days. It ain't doing jack. It's just kind of annoying because... after a while, I'm like, you know what? The sound of the seagulls and the waves and the wind is kind of nice. But the whole time I'm hearing like that behind it all. That's no good. That's ridiculous. So I'm not saying that this technology, because I know it's based on some cool science. I'm not saying that that doesn't work. I think this implementation is a little bit bunk. It's like, you know.
Well, the things because I have also been using Nature Space since I got the new speakers.
Yeah.
So I actually reloaded up, Ambience?
Mm, yeah.
What was the name of that one?
Yeah.
But actually, you could go in, and they actually have a couple, Ambience is the name. They actually have a couple Neural, whatever things that you can actually download for free to try out with that program.
Yeah.
But they do not, with these ones though, because I listened to the samples, it doesn't have any like ambient like seagulls or water or anything. It's just that one noise.
Oh, just the brrr, yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if maybe the mixing of it is, you know, not working.
I actually considered that having them mixed is just crossing signals. Like it's just not supposed to be done that way. So you should try the ambiance one
and report back next week.
Yeah, I do have that app, so I could try. Yeah, I should try that. Because I just thought, okay, this sounds cool. Natural high, baby. Give this a shot. Didn't work.
Did you use headphones?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and quiet room.
It says, you know, in the ambiance one, you have to use headphones for it to really to work.
Yeah, I use headphones. I was in a quiet room. Nobody was around. You know, I'm just trying to keep it. Trying to do all the things I said, and it just didn't really work for me. It may have worked for others. It's a universal app, and it's a good price, 99 cents. I just questioned its authenticity, is all. So I'm not going to recommend it necessarily, but if somebody out there is feeling frisky and wants to try it and give us different results, happy to hear them. That's Altered States, 99 cents. Eric, tell me about 8mm, not the movie with Nicolas Cage, directed by Brian De Palma. I don't know why I know those two facts at all.
Wow.
But not that, but about the app called
8mm. Did you see it for FilmSack?
I've never seen 8mm, actually. That's the other funny thing, is it's a movie I've never seen, but I know all that crap about it. I don't know what that says about me, but tell us, Eric, what is 8mm?
8mm is kind of like Hipstamatic for film. Mm. For actually video, that is.
Keep going. I forgot. This came up a couple weeks ago, right? And we were all kind of excited about it because it was like adding film grain and all that, and then I forgot it existed, and now you're reviewing it. That's good.
It's $1.99 on the App Store. You have four different options of type of film. You have the kind of like a sepia tone, a black and white, a kind of bluish tint one called X-Pro, kind of a pinkish tint called Sakura, and yes, in a kind of a brown one, not quite like a sepia one, but a little more saturation. I don't know what to call it, but they call it Sierra. Mm. But what this, and it has an option for different viewfinders, so you can have like a shaky type of film thing going on the edges of it, or you can have a kind of vignette, kind of like a viewfinder. And they also have a kind of a 3D one that you can shoot 3D film stuff with. And you get your 3D glasses. I know you have that, don't you, Scott?
No, but I can't wait to now.
Wait, don't you have 3D glasses?
No.
Or do you have that 3D option on your camera?
I have that option on my camera, but I don't have glasses.
Oh.
Because you know why I hate that stuff.
Yes.
And I don't want to wear two pairs of glasses for anything ever again in my life. Eileen, tell us, please. Please tell us. You saw something.
Can I finish my review
first?
Hold
on, before you do, though. You tell me you saw something. You saw something at CES that was better than 3D with glasses. Tell me that.
Well, there's supposedly, you know, 3D without glasses.
All right. Good
enough. I saw a little bit of that, but it's not.
It's not there yet?
Yeah, and you have to stand in a certain place. So, I mean, I'm fidgety. I move. Mm. I look up, I move. I don't know how that's going to work for me. But they're trying. The technology's trying to do 3D without glasses. I'm not quite sure it's there yet, but.
Okay.
There are also fashionable 3D glasses or.
Well, Scott just hates wearing two pairs of glasses.
Well, no, and that you could use with your reading glasses. So it's just prescription and 3D.
Yeah. Is this stuff I can put on top of my glasses that just...
No. You just wear these glasses. I don't... These are prototypes, and I haven't seen it in the wild, and I don't really
You'd
know.
You'd have to get prescription 3D glasses.
Exactly. Okay. Oh, man. Yeah, I just...
I can see Scott spending that money.
Not a chance. All right, Eric, sorry. Derailed you. 8mm.
So, and then also, what's interesting about this application is it does the effects real time.
Whoa.
No post-processing. So when you're looking through the viewfinder, you're seeing all the effects happening in real time.
That's pretty cool.
Which, and also it has a little button where it makes the frame go out of, I don't know what that's called, where the kind of the frame doesn't, is not in the middle. It kind of is jigged, going up and down a little bit. Mm. Remember when you're watching a film in freaking high school and that thing would do where it
kind of like the, it gets hung up a little bit, doesn't catch or something. And
exactly. Yeah, yeah. It does that effect, but you actually control it when it does it by hitting the button.
Okay,
but even cool. though it's doing the real-time effects, I think that's the hang-up about this program is that is sometimes when you start the film, start recording, it gets hung up a little and the audio sync gets out of sync.
Mm.
So that's the only problem I've found with it. But other than that, it's pretty cool. It can switch from the front-facing camera to the back. You can use the flash, you know, to light your videos. So it's pretty full featured, but it's just that audio lag is kind of the only thing that I've seen that, but say you're taking a movie, you're like, oh, this is really cool. But you have that audio lag, your whole thing's ruined, you know? So, And also I think it'd be cool because it doesn't have any of the sound effects of the old films do. So there's like, you don't hear that kind of the filmic, like the, that you're usually hearing when you're watching one of these old movies. It's just kind of like you just have the bare sound of the real video. So it'd be kind of cool if they had that mixed in with the audio.
Somebody in the chat room says that Camera Plus now supports all these features. I don't think it does.
It does?
I
for video?
It can't. Because it doesn't even do video. Does it? I don't think it even does video, dude.
Somebody said no, I double checked.
Okay, good.
Okay.
I'm looking too and I'm thinking, I don't remember that.
I don't remember that announcement.
Thought maybe there was an update that I was unaware of. Problem, Cone Dude.
And then the only thing is it doesn't do HD, which I'm fine with, really. Cause you gotta figure these films back in the day were not in HD.
Mm. That's true.
Kind of a grainy in there, but people's like, why isn't it 16:9? Because they didn't have 16:9 back then. Yeah. It was 4:3.
Yeah. It's not even that long ago.
That's true.
I was watching some show from the early 2000s going, oh my gosh, 4:3, what are we doing? Don't like it.
So anyway, it's cool.
Okay, cool.
Hopefully, and then they'll have an update that kind of fixed the audio sync issue happens sometimes, not all the time. It does work. It does says recommend restarting the phone if you're having that issue because it's apparently a low memory bug type of thing. So,
all right. Hey, Eileen, tell us about Runkeeper Pro, the free version. We brought it up on the show before, but you've got a note here to mention that.
Well, yeah, because it's free till the end of January.
Oh.
It's free.
I didn't know you're a runner.
I'm not.
What? She likes runners.
I just wanted to make a note of it. Well, and you know what's even more sad about this whole thing is that I have finally run out of space on my iPhone. So I can't even doubt. I'm sitting here listening to you guys and deleting photos. I've already synced with iPhoto and I'm trying to delete to make room on my iPhone. It's completely full.
Oh, man.
I know. I finally reached the limit.
What type of iPhone do you have?
I have the 32 gig.
And you're full?
Yeah, I have eight. Check this out. I'm looking at the bar here. I have 8.6 gigs of, of apps. And then I have 10.9 gigs of audio, 2.1 gigs of video, 6.4, which has probably gone down now, of photos.
Books. It's all your eating photos and drinking photos.
The books, this is so terrible. The books is the lowest, 0.02 gigabytes.
Oh.
Books don't take up that much room.
I know. And then other 0.92 gigabytes. And I only have 0.37 gigabytes free. It's terrible.
Wow.
I'm just like sitting here. I'm like, oh my God, got to delete. Yeah, I don't need that picture. I've already sunk. Okay. Because I like to keep some pictures on my iPhone. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just a hoarder like that. But Runkeeper Pro, but it's free for now.
All right. Go get it.
January.
So are you going to get it?
Yeah, I'm going to get it because I'm gonna do treadmill.
How does it do treadmill?
Same.
Well, I don't want it. I mean, you just have it. want it, you know,
well, it'll calculate the do the movement
whatever. I don't know. I'm just saying, hey, it's free. So I'm going to download. Don't you do that. Don't you download stuff because it's free and then check it out and then it, whether or not you use it. That's why I have 8.6 gigs of apps.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that the Nike new Nike Plus GPS app has that same where it's supposed to use the accelerometer to keep track of when you're on the treadmill if you're not outside running using the GPS.
You would be better at reviewing Runkeeper Pro than me.
You have don't you, Eric?
$10 normally, so now it's free till the end of January. A lot of people use
Nike Plus.
Now look at you, Mr. Hoity Toity Nike Plus man.
But you know, wouldn't it serve you as you know, a reviewer on the show to see a competitor?
Yeah.
Competitor here? I don't run. I have bad knees.
You have bad knees?
I do. So I just do elliptical and then I do yoga and I do some strength training, that kind of thing. And I'm going to go on the treadmill and do just like heavy walking kind of thing, but no, I don't run. So
the, when your football days?
Yeah. I'm down now. Got to wait for the surgery to get back in the game.
Wow.
No, I was going to say is that I guess I could, because the problem is that I'm in a whole bunch of challenges on Nike Plus.
Oh, okay.
If I don't log a run, then, you know, I'll lose the challenge. So,
oh, no.
They've got you right where they want you, man.
Yeah.
You know, they make their left shoes and their right shoes in different factories in China.
Yes, Scott. We know.
They do. Scott's mentioned it. That's why Nike shoes don't fit my freaking feet. Because one of them's wrong. Anyway.
Well, when were you over there?
I was in China in 2000. It's been a while. And when I was there, I was taken across town to see the opposite shoe making factories that made the left and the right shoes. I assume it's still going on that way. I mean, what would change? Why would that change? They would just keep doing that. They have a huge factory dedicated to left shoes.
Well, you got to figure there's something smart about that,
I guess.
Because just think, you could never, ever ship two left shoes together.
That's why I wear Adidas, dude. They make them in the same factory. Because they fit.
How do you know?
Because they fit.
That's your theory?
I don't know. I don't know what's happening over there.
These shoes must have been made in the same factory because they fit my feet.
I saw some strange things over there. All right. Enough of that.
Yeah, but you know, it'd be interesting to see. I'll check it out to see how it does the treadmill.
Download because, before the end of January.
Yeah,
or
free.
Pay $10 bucks.
Yep.
When I use the treadmill, I actually go to the old Nike app that uses the pedometer in the shoe to track my distance.
I'm going to read some of these features here just to give you, because I don't really know anything about this app. I just wanted to mention it. Can you choose? Okay, iPod integration. Choose one of your iPod playlists to start automatically the moment you begin your activity. Can you do that?
Yes.
Oh, can you?
That's part of the plus.
Can you take photos without having to stop your activity? Photos are geotagged, so when you review them on runkeeper.com, they appear on the map right where you took them.
So they want me to run and take pictures at the same time.
Hey, oh my God, I see something really cool.
That seems kind of cool. Like, I don't, yeah.
I'm not going to stop, but that is the most amazing photo ever. Boom.
Snap. Yeah. And it geotags right where it was, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Does it have the option to say your left shoe is larger than your right?
Well, it says splits. You can see your split times in the app as you do your activities. Do you have map integration in your app?
Yep.
See the exact path you traveled on an app, both on the device and on our website?
Yep.
Yeah. Is it free?
Nope.
Yeah, they got you.
The Nike GPS one is like I think 99 cents.
The extra half an inch of your shoe size is free. They give you that for free, but the rest of it costs.
Scott, I want you to go try on a pair of Nike shoes this week and report back to see if they fit.
All right, I don't mind doing that. I don't mind lousying up some shoes at the shoe store. All right, let's move on to our update corner. But do get Runkeeper Pro free, people. It's free. If you're not already doing something else, then it's free. Monster Dash, big game. I absolutely love this game. Got fast switching, For app switching, so kind of like basically multitasking, and a universal update, so it works on your iPad as well. iPad graphics, blah, 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 99 cents. Still, same price as it always was. Great update. Puzzle Quest 2 is out now, so that's kind of new. And they've already added some fixes for stability, so if you bought this $10 app and you were worried that there were some bugs, maybe now is your chance to play it bug-free. I do want to play Puzzle Quest 2 on the iPad. I got to get around to that. Art Studio back down to 99 cents for a limited time. This is on the iPad version, usually $3.99. They have dropped the price. This is a great time to get it. It's still the best.
I have to say one thing about you. Art, you're the big Art Studio.
Love
fan,
Art
right?
Studio. Love it. Yep.
I have to say, with the stylus, I'm liking Sketchbook Pro better.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Sketchbook Pro is better with a stylus. I mean, they're both better with a stylus either way, but yeah. I mean, I'm kind of Sketchbook Pro's kind of sort of eking its way back into my willingness to accept it as something I want to use. But I
and
still
did you see all the Sketchbook Pro stuff on the Mac App Store?
Yeah, I did. They got that full version. That looks pretty. I played with the light version. It's pretty tight. I'm kind of tempted.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a Wacom tablet,
mm-hmm.
So I think that would be a big plus over a mouse using that. But
I would really like to have Mudbox on the iPad. I think that would be a really, really cool. It's the same guys who do Sketchbook or Sketch. What is it? Not Sketch. What's it called? Sketchbook Pro. Not Sketchbook.
Sketchbook Pro is the CAD people, right?
Yeah, the CAD. Sorry, AutoCAD. The AutoCAD people. Right. They make something called Mudbox, which is used for 3D modeling. If the iPad can handle it, I think that'd be a lot of fun. You basically sculpt in 3D. Like a very artistic sort. You could totally do it with a stylus. Anyway, so that happened. Big update to that. I think Art Studio is great. So check it out. Adobe Photoshop, which is free, had a bunch of bug fixes and tweaks. It is a universal app, so you can get it for your phone or your iPad or your iPod, and it's great for just quick stuff. That thing is still great. It's a go-to for me when I need to quickly crop or rotate something. I still use it all the time. And,
I have a question for the Camera Plus users out there. Or you guys been using Camera Plus?
Yeah, I like it.
A little bit.
Yeah, it's okay.
Is there any way to do more than one effect to a photo?
Oh, like double up effects? I think you can save it. Once you've applied an effect, you can go do it again, right?
And then open
it
up.
No, the thing is what happens is it saves it to the pasteboard. It actually, it's like, once you change it, it actually doesn't keep the previous one because you're editing it.
Let's see. I'm doing it right now. So I got the Santa Claus picture from Christmas. I'm going to do effects. I'm going to give it a retro look. So we're going to choose fashion. And then I can say done. And then I can open it again. And I can go to effects. Oops. Oh, you're right. You can't. I don't think you can.
Okay. I was just thinking I was overseeing something.
That's too bad. I like the idea of being able to double that up. I hadn't tried it before. So it's kind of like Instagram. It's just sort of smack it on there and be done.
Hey, so I have a question. Has Fragger always been on the iPad?
No. Is it out now?
I saw. Yeah, it's $2.99 on the iPad now. I just saw that and I downloaded it. I know. I'm going to have to start over because I really want to play it on the iPad.
I almost played it.
Because I have a hard time sometimes, you know, I'm stuck on a level where I'm just stuck on a level. So I'm wondering if it's going to be better on the iPad.
Well, Eileen, I almost kind of did this anyway. I played, you know, the iPhone version, and one night I had just the 2X blown up iPhone version on my iPad. And I thought, well, let's just see how this plays. And I found myself like 20 levels in. Going, oh my gosh, what am I doing here? This is ridiculous. I should just wait until it comes out. Well, now that it's out, I got to get this.
I know. I downloaded it already too. I just downloaded it tonight. I wondered, I'm like, God, did I miss something? Has it been out for a while?
I must have. Let's see. Release date January 6th, so just barely.
All right.
I don't know how I missed that. Jeez. Okay, there's a new release that I would have cared a lot about. I don't know how I missed that. Anyway.
I know. I'm so excited.
Awesome. Yeah, love me some Fragger still. What else? That's it. And updates. Let's do a stupid app of the week. And when I do those, I often play this.
It's the stupid app of the week.
Agreed. It's called iPoo. Yeah, that's right. iPoo.
I'm not gonna open it.
Well, I'm gonna tell you the description here.
Oh,
always,
my God. No.
Always find yourself with nothing to do while you're sitting on the can, Eric. Introducing iPoo, a new application for the iPhone that gives you something to do while you poo. iPoo is a social community that brings together pooers from around the world. Is that a word? Pooers? Anyway, write messages, draw graffiti on the virtual stalls, earn points and badges, and see what others are posting, all while they're dropping a deuce.
Oh, my gosh.
This is awful.
The poo apps just keep on coming, man.
Oh, my God.
It's like, it's to me. Oh, hey, bud. Why aren't you in bed? His answer is, I don't know. Anyway,
you started talking about iPoo.
If you're big on pooing and playing, that app might be for you. So go check that out. Again, it's iPoo. I want to thank a listener for suggesting it. I didn't use his name because I do not want to drag his name through the mud or the poo. You know what I mean? All right. That's it for stupid app. Let's move on to some voicemail. We have multiples, so there should be an S on that. Got one here about car diagnostics. Seems like a weird question, but I found an answer.
Hey, Scott, Eric, and Eileen. This is Ken from sunny Central Florida. Maybe some of your listeners can help me out with this one. I'm an automotive technician, and I've been looking for an application, an iPhone app that will allow me to connect to vehicles via the onboard diagnostic connector and to diagnose vehicles just like a scanner that would be used at a dealership or something like that. Any little bit of help would be great. Thanks. Derp.
Okay, I did some looking, and I found something for him.
Ooh, cool. What is it?
Called Carbonga.
What?
Carbonga.
How do you spell that?
It's a Carbonga, $4.99. It is described thusly. Carbonga is the first iPhone app, also runs on the iPod Touch and iPad to address both broader vehicle safety systems, such as anti-lock brakes, airbags, safety restraint systems, tire pressure, blah, 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 blah. A bunch more stuff that I'm sure he'll want to be into. But anyway, it does these OBD codes for vehicle emissions and other engine problems. Other iPhone apps only read ODB codes, not safety codes. Drivers with a 1996 or newer vehicle can see beyond the vague eye check engine light to pinpoint existing and pending problems with their vehicles. Now, the important part is this uses a cable, a GoLink cable that connects to this diagnostic equipment and checks for over 2,000 vehicle fault codes. So something my dad would have been totally into if he was still around, because he'd love this stuff. Anyway, it's seems like it's what you want. To me, I mean, best I can tell.
I don't know. These customer ratings so far are pretty bad.
Is it pretty low?
It's low.
Oh, I hate that. Let's see.
I mean, give it a try. Well, I don't know. It's $4.99.
Yeah, it's a little, I mean, it's a little pricey, but for, I mean, it's a pretty specialty item. The app does not work on my iPhone 4, says this guy. It just crashes. Sent an email to developers. No response. Crashes almost every time. Just a scam. I'll only check pending. Oh, yeah. So maybe it sucks, but it's the closest thing I could find. I should have checked.
Hey, you did the research. That's
I did
great.
The research. I looked it up. I just didn't see if it was any good because I don't know about this stuff. This is all foreign to me, but check it out if you would like to learn more.
We need a related on the app store. So here's Carbonga, and I want to see the related apps.
Yeah, right now we just get people who bought this, bought these. That's not good enough.
Yeah, I want related.
I agree.
There we go.
That's a great idea. They should be able to do
that. They have that on the App Store, don't they?
Not really. I mean, they have a category.
I'm just looking on the iTunes Store right now.
They have a category.
Usually down below it says people who purchase this, purchase this.
Well, that's what
we just said. Right now it's Google mobile app.
Yeah. it's telling them what they purchased, even if it's not related or not.
Yeah, and that's lame.
Well, I'm just saying related, like I think the store should organize it in such a way that, okay, if there's a similar app of this, we see that.
Especially with specialized apps like this one.
Like this one, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how they would do that and filter that out with more common stuff like games and things. That might be trickier. But, even then, if it was a Match 3 game you bought, well, then it'd be nice to know, here's some other popular Match 3 games.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I guess the big problem is just crashing.
Yeah, that's what we're reading here. Need an app that will hide texts and pictures, says this guy.
Hey, AppSlappy, this is Makai calling from Newport Beach. I'm calling about a security app that I'm looking for that would hide text messages and pictures. One or the other, one being the text message and the other being photographs, or both would be great. I've been searching for it for a while. I think it's a great app. It'd be great to have that app. So if you guys can find it or do your research, I would love it. And just want to say thanks for all the hard work. You guys are awesome and look forward to the wrap-up show. It's my favorite show of the year. And excited to see everything you guys come up with. Derp.
Okay. He sent that right before our wrap-up show. So
I see.
That's why the timing seems a little weird. I hope you enjoyed it.
Me too.
I hunted all over the place, and here's what I came up with. A few posts here and there on the internet, but mostly people are saying, there's no way Apple's ever going to let you do this. They're not going to let you, you know, artificially hide stuff without some kind of third-party app. And there are third-party apps that let you text other people, but they're not built into the phone. They don't use the AT&T stuff. It's kind of like that text-free stuff. And they do encryption and all kinds of stuff to be able to hide what you're texting. So that exists. And the same thing exists with a couple of album apps that let you go in and kind of individually block photos and stuff. But none of it is super elegant, nor are they blocks on the default apps you're trying to block them in. In other words, if somebody sends you a text and you want that to be not visible but still be there, well, that came through your phone. That came through the app that Apple's given you, and they have not allowed people ways to dork with that stuff, if that makes sense. Now, that's the best I could find. That doesn't mean one of our listeners isn't brilliant enough to figure out something and tell us. So if you know, send it in. We'd love to know more.
I think there was, back in the day, there was a photo app that you could, like, secure your photos, wasn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, oh yeah. But it was an app. It was an outside app.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so those options exist. It's just an issue of whether or not you want to have that stuff separate from the built-in album organizer.
I know a way he can
jailbreaking it. Jailbreaking it'll do it. What?
Delete them.
You could do that. That's true. I wonder what he's hiding all that from. Is it just...
Yeah.
Sounds like something pretty risky.
I want to know what you got in there. All right. No, I don't. I really don't want to know. Notes Plus is... this guy's talking about it. I downloaded it, and we'll talk about it on the other side.
Hi, Scott and Eric. This is John in Honolulu. I was just wondering if you'd ever tried Notes Plus for the iPad. In my job, I go to a lot of meetings and take a lot of notes, and I finally found an application for my iPad that I really like to take notes on. You can type, handwrite, or draw notes. I got a stylus, so it's a lot easier than drawing with your hand. You can also email a PDF or JPEG of your notes to yourself or export it to Google Docs or other things. The only thing you can't do yet is export it to Dropbox, which I wish they would add. Hopefully they will soon. I really like it, and if you haven't, I think you should give it a try. Thanks a lot for the show. It's really good. Have a great day. Derp.
Okay, I downloaded this app, and it's $1.99. Or no, I'm sorry, $5.99?
Wait, what's it called again? I'm sorry.
Notes Plus.
Notes Plus.
And right. There's two Notes Plus. There's one spelled out plus. That's the one you want. There's another one with a plus symbol. You don't want that one. That one's tanking and doing terrible. So I downloaded it because I'm, you know, Eric and I are penultimate folk, right?
We are.
We like that app a lot. And I may have found a successor to penultimate. I really like this app a lot so far. And I'm not ready to review it because there's still plenty I need to do to mess with it. I had one crash that kind of threw me off. But some of it takes a little getting used to because it definitely handles things a little bit differently than you're used to. But the zoom in and draw letters... Or write your notes in the spacing of the lines and then have it bigger so you can write it, but then it actually saves it much smaller so you get a lot better use of the page and you can, you know, tab over and tab down real easy and all that kind of stuff. It's really, really cool. Like, I'm totally impressed with that stuff so far. And I'm gonna be using the heck out of it to kind of see what I think, and I'll review it next week. I like it a whole lot. I think it's worth $6 so far, and I haven't even really dug into it that far. But next week, I'll give you a full review.
How's the line quality compared to penultimate?
It cleans it up. So it's one of those, it's a little bit like Adobe Ideas, kind of. Yeah, a little bit. You can turn that off, though. But I like it on. It does. It's pretty subtle. There's a whole bunch of different pen styles and thicknesses and all that stuff. Some of the interface stuff is, I think, a little bit, could use some intuitive tinkering and things. But I quite like it so far.
Dude, I don't know. I love Penultimate, man.
I know. Penultimate, the advantage I think Penultimate has in this fight is it's super just bam, bam, get in, write stuff, get out. Like, there's no dorking around. It is what it is, and you just do it fast, and it's all very focused on the end result, which is take notes and get out of that thing. This is a little bit more complicated than that, but once you get your head around the things you're going to use most of the time, I can see myself really digging on some of these features. It also has the ability to recognize shapes, so if I meant to make a circle, it'll make me a perfect circle if I wanted to. You can turn that stuff off, and then you can move them around the page. And one of the things,
this might be something for me.
Yeah. I think you'd like it. I really do. The one thing I really liked is if you did a bunch of notes, I thought, well, where's my eraser? Like, I just want to erase what I wrote, right? Couldn't find it. Realized that what it wants you to do is, it's smart enough to know that you just made a big circle or square around the stuff you wrote that you want to delete, and then you just delete it or move it. That's the other thing. If you've made a big block of notes in one corner, you need to move it down to the bottom and point to some circle with something else in it. You can move that stuff around all you want, and you select it just by circling it with the pen and it going, oh, well, we know you meant to circle this. So, and if you didn't mean to do that, there's a little pop-up right then that says, you know, don't select or whatever, and that just makes a circle as if you meant to just draw a circle, if that makes sense. It's cool. Totally cool so far. So
it's got a lot of good reviews on iTunes so far. Unlike the car app.
Yeah, unlike the car app, this one's doing all right. And it's a dollar more. Hubba hubba. Anyway, check it out. I think it's worth it. I will review it in full next week if you're still on the fence. But that is my recommendation to the world.
Yeah, maybe I should review FatPad.
Yeah, review FatPad.
Next week, and we can have a... It's the handwriting recognition one.
Yeah, do it.
Did you get that?
Nope. I want you to. We'll trade. I'll do this one. You do that one, and Eileen can pick which one she likes the best.
And I will be the decider.
You'll be the decider, right? Round one, fight. All right. Moving on to emails. These come to us at appslappy@gmail.com. So do those others, by the way. So send everything to appslappy@gmail.com. Your attachments are so easy to make with your little phone or your little phone voice recorder, or even the one on your iPhone or your iPad or your iPod, rather. Wherever you're doing it, you can do it on the iPad too with some of them. Just save a voice memo, send it off to us, or send us emails to that same address. Here's one from Ryan who says, I'm writing this for two reasons. The first is to say I'm a huge fan of the show, all the Frog Pants shows, really, and wanted to thank you for it. Secondly, a while back I heard you guys talking about a particular stylus for the iPad you liked. At the time, I did not have an iPad, and I didn't think much of it. But last week, I took the plunge, bought one, and now I'm wondering if you could point me in the right direction of your current favorite stylus. Thanks, and derp from Ryan. And Eric, I think we just should always use whatever excuse we have to remind people which one it is. It's only $15 on Amazon. It's made by Boxwave. I can't remember if it has a name, though.
No, it doesn't. Just Boxwave.
Is that the name?
Just go on Amazon and type in Boxwave, and a whole bunch of styluses will pop up, and you can get any one you want.
They have black ones, red ones,
different colors.
Yeah, it's cool. I love.
I went to their site. I ended up on their site. They actually have ones with a ballpoint pen on one end.
Yeah, they do. They have that on Amazon as well. They're a little bit more, but still under $30, I think.
But I had a friend Twitter something today that was quite interesting. Was a brush that works on the iPad.
Oh, you're kidding.
That's coming out soon. Ooh. I saw a little demo of it. I wasn't quite convinced quite yet because the guy was just doing these strokes back and forth. And the brush was almost completely flat onto the iPad. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that doesn't really show me anything because, you know, as using a stylus, the stroke width is not determined by the size of the stylus. It's decided by what size of brush you're using in the application. So
yeah,
I wasn't quite convinced.
Interesting.
That the brush would work.
Yeah.
Because I don't think the iPad can determine how thick whatever's touching the touchscreen is.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, they have mini capacitive styluses, little stubby ones. Anyway, $15, dude. Total steal. BoxWave. Amazon's where I got it. You can go straight to their site as well. They're at boxwave.com, and we really like them. Okay. Got another email here. This one comes to us from who? Nobody. I forgot. I didn't write their name down. Crap. I don't think they gave it to me. That's why. All I have was an email address. But you'll know who you are. Hi, I'm a longtime listener of the show, and I have a new Mac. Awesome. I have a Mac Mini and an iPad, and my iPad has 11 gig of photos on it. Holy crap. Most of these photos are from trips, and I got on my iPad via the camera connector kit. I would like to transfer these photos to iPhoto, last version, not iLife 11, and then delete them from my iPad without having to manually do it from my iPad. Maybe it's a simple thing, but I can't find any info online. And like I said, I'm a new Mac user. My Mac is currently running 10.6.6 and my iPad 4.2.1. Thanks for and love the show, Derp. Maybe his name is Derp. I doubt it. I don't know how else you do this. I think you have to do them all manually. But you can do them all pretty, like you can delete all. Like here.
No, right. No. This is how you do it. Are you serious?
Yeah,
are you serious, Scott?
Yeah, because here, look. I mean,
No. This is what you do.
Tell me your weird way, and then I'll bring this up. Go ahead.
Okay, you open up iPhoto.
Got it.
Import all the photos off the iPad. It asks you, do you want to keep or delete all the photos off your iPad?
No, it doesn't. Right. Does it?
Yeah, it does.
Oh.
Yeah, I just did this for my iPhone because like I'm trying to save space like this person on my iPhone.
See, I thought it did it like... I don't know what I thought. I thought it did it like the, I knew the iPhone did it like a digital camera, like an SLR or something, where it would say, do you want to delete these when you're done? But I thought with the iPad, it didn't do that. I thought it just said, oh, thanks for the photos, and then went away. But I guess I haven't done that in a while. Interesting. Okay. So you're saying it behaves just like the phone.
It should, unless somebody can... I don't see why not.
You're probably right. And then I'm looking on the thing itself, and you're right. Manually, this is a pain. There is no select all. You got to go through here and go burp, 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 and select them all manually by tapping them and then delete them. Ugh, that's a pain. So, yeah, what they said is probably the right thing. I didn't even consider that. I guess in my head I was thinking, well, you must have already tried that. You know, so... Anyway, there you go, mystery writer. Good luck in all that you do. It's going to do it, man. It's a show. Holy crap. I think we might be able to get Eileen to bed and sleep in her
life. I apologize for not having two apps.
That's okay. You had your nice free recommendation. That's good.
That's true.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a review. I don't know anything about it. And I didn't really even convince Eric to get it. And he's a runner. So.
Yeah. He is a runner. How's that going, Eric? You still running?
Yeah. I did 3 miles the other day.
Look at you, dude. All after your surgery.
Cold in the cold weather.
Yeah.
It's amazing the cold running gear, just how well it works. It just blows my mind. And it's not that heavy. Like, I don't get cold at all.
That's great. You will.
It has all that wicking stuff, dry fit, thermal. Yeah, it's amazing.
There's too much ice where I live right now. I can't run in it. So I'm kind of off the running kick for a little
while. Yeah, I have to go to the park where the paths are cleared off because running on the sidewalk, you have like these big snow banks at the end of the where the sidewalk meets the street.
Right.
And so you have to hurdle over there. So I'm not doing that.
It's a hazard, man. Don't do that. It's dangerous. Hey, we got some cool reviews in iTunes. I wanted to mention these real quick. Some 5-star reviews from Surfer11, who says, worst part of this podcast is the huge increase in money I spend on apps now. By the way, Eileen is a great addition to the show, too. That was very nice. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Kook Party says, I love this podcast. Scott and Eric do an amazing job on app coverage and are fun to listen to. This is my favorite podcast ever. And keep up the good work, Derp. And there's a bunch of others. Thank you guys so much for your 5-star reviews. We really appreciate those, and those are always nice to read. So keep those coming over at iTunes. Don't forget to use the code App1, App2, and App3 on GoDaddy. That will save you money on domains. You know the drill. Those codes still work. Why pay more when you can pay less? The website to visit is appslappy.com. Don't forget to email us at appslappy@gmail.com. Send those attachments. We love the audio calls. You can find us on Twitter as well, twitter.com/appslappyshow. You can also follow us individually. Eileen TV, Hokkaido, Extra Life, all three of those get you where you think you're going to need to go or something like that. Facebook, facebook.com/appslappy. Those are all the places you can follow us on the internet. I think that's going to do it for us. Parting thoughts, Eileen.
Good night.
Yes. Those are the best thoughts I've ever heard. Eric, wisdom from the Nike wearing freaking.
I have to, mention.
Yeah.
That my album is out.
Oh, that's right. Oh, my God.
Yeah. We should have said this earlier.
And there's a post on appslappy.com about it.
So. Yes, there is. Eric's album. What did we call it? I forgot already.
Function?
Function is out. Featuring album art by me. Music by Eric. Amazing stuff. You totally owe it yourself to get it.
It's on the iTunes store. And if you're not a big iTunes fan, it's on Amazon also.
Yeah, and Amazon also is good.
So
they should call it Amazon also. That would be great.
Amazon also.
Just for fun. Hang on. We're going to play just a tiny bit of one of your tracks. Okay. Right here.
You always play this one.
That's because I love this one. I love Bank Test. That's a great track. Again, the album is Function. We'll have a link to it in the show notes. It's also, like we said, in the blog. There's a whole post dedicated to it. So support Eric. Get some good music in the as well. That's the whole point. It's good stuff. It's not just supporting Eric.
Yeah, you actually featured your little voice in the beginning of the code.
Yeah, that one's weird. Should we let people hear that?
You like the beginning of it? Yeah. Your little voicemail?
Yeah, let's do this real quick.
Two things. I still can't see the code, and secondly, transitions, man. Do 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 do.
Yeah,
nice,
pretty rad. So go get it. It's easy $10 to spend. It's a smart $10, and we recommend it highly. That's gonna do it for us. Thank you guys for being here. Thank you, chat room, everybody in the new IRC channel. You guys are great. And we'll see you guys and everyone else listening to the sound of our voices next week for show 74. And until then, take care.
Later.
I'm so out of it.
I thought she was going to say.
I know.
Hey, Scott and Eric, this is David from Wichita, Kansas. I had called you a while back talking about the Apple AV cables not working with Netflix with the iPhone 4. I don't know how, but somehow I've got it to work, and I just wanted to let your listeners know that the picture on my 50-inch screen looks great. What I did was I canceled my Gold membership with Netflix, and now I'm saving a ton of money because I can watch. I don't have to stream it through my Xbox. I can just pull it straight out of my iPhone 4 and stick it right there on my plasma, and it looks great. So I just wanted to let your listeners know that the Apple AV cables do work with Netflix, YouTube, just about anything, really. It's pretty cool. Thanks, guys.
Derp. Hi, Scott and Eric. It's Johnny calling from Northern Ireland. Spoke to you before. Calling to let you know about geotag photos. One of your last callers a couple of weeks back was asking about how to geotag photos on a digital SLR. Well, geotag photos is the app. It's absolutely brilliant. You download a desktop part and obviously you run another bit on your phone. Anyway, it's easy to figure out and it's super. All you got to make sure is your camera and your phone have exactly the same time. And if you do that, everything will work out just brilliant. Speak to you later. Derp.
How you doing, everyone? It's Cheap Dad's Cheap Game of the Week, and I'm your host, The Cheap Dad. Hey, you know, you ever feel like maybe the holidays just go by too fast? Christmas comes and goes, New Year's a blast, but then it's over. Well, I totally feel that way, which is why I didn't do an episode last week, because I was enjoying every last second of the holidays. Joyfully, of course. I've decided I don't want the holidays to stop, so they're not going to. I bring you, my faithful listeners, the Ballad of Cheap Dadmas. On the first day of Cheap Dadmas, Cheap Dad gave to me nothing. On the second day of Cheap Dadmas, Cheap Dad gave to me
two brains
and nothing. On the third day of Cheap Dadmas, Cheap Dad gave to me
three ugly buttons,
two brains
and nothing. On the fourth day of Cheap Dadmas, Cheap Dad gave to me
yar, four dirty dogs,
three ugly buttons,
two brains
and nothing. On the fifth day of Cheap Dadmas, Cheap Dad gave to me
five unbearable chores,
four dirty dogs,
three ugly buttons,
two brains
and nothing. On the sixth day of Cheap Dadmas, Cheap Dad gave to me
six broken hips,
five unbearable chores,
four dirty dogs,
three ugly buttons,
two brains
and a ton of nothing. On the seventh day of Cheap Dadmas, Cheap Dad gave to me
seven moldy croissants,
six broken hips,
five unbearable chores,
four dirty dogs,
three ugly buttons,
two brains
and nothing.
On the eighth day of Cheap Dadmas, Cheap Dad gave to me
8 pounds of flesh,
seven moldy croissants,
six broken hips,
five unbearable chores,
four dirty dogs,
three ugly buttons,
two brains.
Y nada mucho. We're what, on the ninth day of Christmas? What?
Nine broken spines,
8 pounds of flesh,
seven moldy croissants,
six broken hips,
five unbearable chores,
four dirty dogs,
three ugly buttons,
two brains.
Oh yeah, nothing.
On the 10th day of Cheap Dadmas, Cheap Dad gave to me
10 hours of homework,
9 broken spines,
8 pounds of flesh,
7 moldy croissants,
6 broken hips,
5 unbearable chores,
4 dirty dogs,
3 ugly buttons,
2 brains.
Oh yeah, nothing. What? No. Seriously, 12 days? This song is just going on forever. We're making it the 10 days of Christmas, of Cheap Dadmas, whatever. Happy extended holidays.
That was a train wreck.
11 years of hell. Whoopee.
I know.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.